if it was, we were told at this point in time that we only got one game, we'd nearly take it. So any form of a championship at this time would be welcome to us, and we're not in favour of either approach. We'd welcome any hurling at this stage. Like, there's obviously a national pandemic in the country, and first and foremost, GAA are going to have to make a very educated decision on that based on HSE guidelines. Whatever comes from that, we'll welcome and take on board.
Yeah, of course. And that obviously comes to the fore, as always, public health and safety. But just in terms of if that did come to pass and it was a straight knockout, just from a strength and conditioning point of view, would you have to maybe adjust the way that you prepare for that? I mean, in terms of if you're conditioning a team for a round robin, which is set and scheduled over a matter of weeks, or a straight knockout, is it a bit like a sprint versus a marathon, or is it not that simple?
I suppose it's like every profession, S&C coaches have their own take on it, but definitely it will be approached differently. In essence, you'd be peaking for a one-off game, because with knockout you can't look past any other game. So recovery and peaking for a one-off game would be the entire focus, to be honest.
Just talking about that and talking about trying to keep everything on the road while this pandemic is ongoing, obviously there's been no matches or collective training since basically the beginning of March, I think, wasn't it? So how many weeks of a championship pre-season would you think would be kind of fair when collective team training can resume?
It's a good question, Luke. Given we've never been in this situation before, I suppose it's difficult to say, but I'm very, very happy at the way the boys are training on their own individually at the minute. I don't think we'd need a long lead-in time. Anything from 3 to 4 weeks would be adequate to state the ground running from a physical perspective. Now, from a hurling skill perspective and, I suppose, tactical awareness, it's probably a different conversation, but I don't foresee us getting more than 3 to 4 weeks if we do go back to championship.
Yeah, you'd think that, because there wouldn't be, obviously they're going to try and condense this, and if they're looking at it, they said they'd like to get back out by June. Obviously, we don't know. It's all up in the air, and they'd still like to finish it then in August. So you're looking at a confined space of time there. But I suppose just from that point of view where you were talking about dealing with the lads, and you're happy with how they're performing at home and how they're keeping up their physical conditioning, what's that been like? I mean, as you said, we've never been in a situation like this before. I mean, from day one, you must have had to put something in place in your mind to keep everything ticking over.
Yeah, a difficulty from the strength and conditioning point of view, and everyone is the same in the country, is that with no in time frame, it's a bit more difficult to plan. But on the other side of that is, we're very fortunate that everyone in the squad is currently healthy. And while it probably took a bit of time to get used to the current environment, once you accept that as a player, a manager, a coach, you can then turn your focus and mind frame towards opportunity and what opportunity does this present for us. And it presented an opportunity for us to work really, really hard. We've continued from where we left off in the league, and we're continuing to work hard. I suppose with technology now, we have monitoring systems in place that keep the lads, I suppose, both honest, even though there's probably not a need for honesty, but I can monitor the quality of session, be it in a shed out the back at home or in a green out the front of their house or on the road within the 2 kilometre radius. So I'm very happy how the boys are progressing and how they've dealt with the situation. It's been as positive as it can be for us, given a difficult time.
Could you run us through what maybe a couple of things that they would be doing on a day-to-day basis that they can do remotely from their own home?
A lot of lads will still be working, so we try not to interfere with it. 9 to 5, we keep it as close to a training week as we normally would, where they'll have 2 to 3 gym sessions and 2 to 3 running sessions. As the government's guidelines have changed, running has become a bit more refined in that we don't have access to GAA fields, so lads have to use their imagination a bit. They're out in the road or out in the green in front of them. Fortunately, we all have heart rate monitors, so when they do a session, it'll be logged on an app on their phone, and then it gets sent directly to me, so I'm able to monitor the intensity and duration of the sessions to ensure we're where we want to be for this point in time.
You mentioned gym work as well as obviously cardio and the likes. In terms of weights and all that, have the players been provided with that sort of equipment? Did they have their own? Do some have different equipment than others? What way does that work?
Yeah, so essentially, I suppose there's a lot of programming going on, that you're trying to cater for 37 lads' individual needs in terms of logistics and equipment. But I would just like to take the opportunity to thank, I suppose, the Woodlands and Conor Fitzgerald and John Bruder and Cullum at Pit 100, who provided the lads with as much weight as they could possibly give it to them in the current environment. And like, I know businesses are struggling currently, so for them to do that for us in a time that their own businesses are probably struggling, it was massively appreciated from, I know, from me, the management and the lads.
Yeah, certainly a noble gesture and fair play to them on that, Mikey. Just in terms of, I suppose, staying in contact with the players, you've, what, 30-odd players that you might have to deal with individually or collectively from time to time. Do you use video chat? Is it a WhatsApp group, text or call? What way are you able to stay in contact with everyone? I'm sure that's difficult.
Yeah, we 37 lads in training at the minute, and you're probably talking to 10 to 15 of them every day for something slightly different. And we're using a variation of means, as every business is currently, in every organisation and team, through WhatsApp and video calls and Zoom and Skype and so a phone call. It's a mix of everything, Luke. I suppose outside sport, everyone's doing the same thing. You're trying to maximise as many processes as you can to communicate with other people.
Yeah, I suppose. And just from your own point of view, from chatting to them, obviously you've said that they seem to be taking well to it and they seem to be getting on well and you're monitoring all that. Just in terms of, I suppose, the mind frame of some of these lads, I mean, they're young, they're athletic, they've been active, I'm sure, their whole lives from playing hurling and other sports the whole way up. I'd say it might hit athletes that bit harder than we'll say, the average Joe Soap, in that they're used to being constantly active and getting out, and they're used to that, I suppose, collective training where it's nearly like a family at a certain stage when there's that many in the panel.
It's definitely a point you made, but I wouldn't differentiate that from anyone on a human level. I think this is the same for everyone. A sport is a small aspect of life when you take into account family and health. And I think while the lads would have struggled maybe to become familiar with the setup in week one or two, so did everyone. Mothers and fathers, postmen, nurses. It affects everyone on some level, but the lads have really accepted the situation now and embraced it, and they're working hard the whole time. So I can't say that they've struggled massively. I think everyone has apprehension with the unknown, but we've definitely dealt with it well, and we have a good psychologist in Caroline Curd involved, and she keeps in check with them fairly regularly, as does all of the management team. So I think we're doing good, Luke.
Yeah, I suppose just thinking back as well, you've worked with a majority probably of these guys at under 21 level, that All-Ireland win obviously back in 2017, and you've been involved obviously in the setup throughout, so you would have kept in contact with them in that way as well. Thinking back maybe to then when they were that bit younger up to this year when you came in as the strength and conditioning coach, what way have they progressed an awful lot since then? What were you struck by I suppose their conditioning now compared to then, or has it been, we'll say, a steady climb?
Yeah, just firstly, like you referenced the academy there, like I suppose Joe McKenna first set that up, and it's been a powerhouse for us. Derry, Drew, Pat Donnelly, and a few more involved now, and there's a constant influx of players coming through now at a level that's athletically appropriate to seniors. So they're coming in and they have much of the work that you need done, already done. So in terms of progression, yes, they progress, but they're at a level which is advantageous for someone like me in a job, in that they don't take a whole lot of work. The big difference you would see is they really are meant. They grow up a lot in that couple of years. Their maturity and application is at a very, very high level.
Looking at this, and I suppose looking at like any other sports, professional sports, the way that I suppose we talk about GAA players now and the Limerick senior hurlers and the likes, there's really that professional aspect to it, to an amateur game, isn't it? Even talking from your point of view, you come in and you don't have to do as much work as you might have to do with someone who isn't willing to apply it. 100% commitment and application and a real high level of professionalism, it seems.
Yeah, I think if you want to be serious within GAA or any sport or business, your attitude and consistent behaviours are the most important thing. And we have that in abundance with our current players. It's sometimes the biggest aspect of my job is trying to hold lads back and make sure they're not overdoing it. So we never really have to worry about attitude or application, to be honest, Lou.
Mikey, just from a personal point of view as well, I know that you're working on a PhD at the moment. How's that going? I assume you can continue to tip away from home and you can work on that remotely. Still a lot of work to do. Are you getting there? How's that coming along?
Yeah, I'm getting there, thank God. I've a few months left of it anyway. While the S&C side of it with the lads is fairly intensive at the minute, it still does allow me a lot of time with the BHC, and that you've no contact time in a training pitch in an evening. It's taken 4 or 5 hours. So still tipping away, hoping to finish up maybe September, October time, all going well. And once we're healthy, I should make that timeline, hopefully.
Yeah, and just for those who might know, it's an interesting one as well. I'm paraphrasing now, but essentially kind of examining strength and conditioning from a jockey's point of view?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the strength and conditioning practice of the jockeys, professional flat and professional jump jockeys, and also looking at the physiological demands of race riding. So essentially, what does it take from a physical perspective for the jockey to ride a horse during a race, and just trying to profile the demands of that for the industry, who'd be the Irish Horse Racing regulatory body, should I say, sorry. But yeah, it's interesting, Luca, and sometimes I love that little break sometimes from the GA. It's nice to be dealing with two different cohorts of athletes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be in, I suppose, a high performing hurler, and then you have a kind of a weight category jockey who are coming in and trying to perform at a maximum capacity with very limited energy reserve from food or water, given that they're trying to make weight every day of the year.
Yeah, and I think it's a completely different interview that we might actually get you on talking about at another time, Mikey, because it really is interesting. But just for the time being, and I'll end on this, the 2018 All-Ireland Senior Hurling and Junior Ladies Footballers, they put together a fantastic video in an effort to raise funds for our frontline staff in Limerick. Great to see a continued effort and a united front from a Limerick GAA point of view. I mean, I said it yesterday on Limerick Today, Limerick players are heroes on the pitch. They represent the county, they represent the jersey. We have another set of heroes on the front lines, and that have always been there, but we noticed that much more now during this pandemic. And great to see the GAA rowing in behind and trying to help out as best they can.
Yeah, Luke, it's fantastic. While the lads and ladies are sports stars on the field, there is a much greater thing at play here. Even aside from that video, the work Limerick GAA, coordinated by our secretary and chairman, has been fantastic. You've the call centre in the Munster Council offices, you've the Gaelic grounds opened up, you've other GAA facilities opened up. So when you're in need, you see your friends and your family, and I think Limerick GAA have been that for people, which is very, very positive.